ACCA, the world's most forward-thinking professional accountancy body.
Hello everyone, and welcome to A Day in the Life of a Student. In this series, we'll be talking to ACCA students from around the world, finding out about their journeys through the qualification, sharing their insights and experiences.
I am Tahir Kapasi, Head of Education for Middle East. Within my role, I look at recruiting potential students as well as ensuring they are able to progress through the qualification successfully. This involves working with educational institutions around the region in 11 countries, as well as our network of learning partners and key employers. And today, I am talking to Ishita Sabrawal from UAE. Hi, Ishita.
Hi.
Why don't you start by introducing yourself?
I'm Ishita Sabrawal. I am from the UAE. I'm an accounting graduate from the University of Wollongong in Dubai. I started off with my ACCA journey last December, and I'm currently progressing towards my final professional exam.
Thank you, Ishita. So how did you come to ACCA?
When I talk about my ACCA journey, I'll have to go back to high school. So back in high school itself, I had this idea that I wanted to pursue my higher education in the field of accounting. So when we used to have these university fairs, I went over there and I came across PwC Academy. And I had a chat with them about ACCA, and I had a pretty long chat. It was about 15, 20 minutes where I got a very good overview of what ACCA is all about. What are the prospects when I do ACCA and what would my journey look like as well? And my father, who's a chartered accountant himself, told me that a professional qualification is a must if you want to advance in your career, particularly if you're looking at the field of accounting. So I went ahead, I did my own research as well, and I came across the fact that there are certain select universities that have this accreditation with ACCA, so I can benefit from a degree as well as the ACCA qualification. And as a matter of fact, after I found out about this, ACCA became a very core criteria when I was selecting a university as well. As a matter of fact, my university was giving me up to 9 paper exemptions. So my whole idea of coming across ACCA and going forward with it was that it's going to certainly help me advance with my career. And when I have to talk about my journey with ACCA, it started long back. I would say if I have to calculate now, it's about 6 years, been a part of my life since then.
Wow, it's absolutely phenomenal hearing that. And I agree with your father, Ishita, experiencing the same, you know, with my own life being a fellow ACCA member. I think professional qualifications definitely give you that leading edge with employers, you know, whether that's in form of recognition, whether that's, you know, in form of getting promotions and rewards quickly. So definitely, yes. What exam are you studying for?
So I'm currently studying for advanced financial management. It is my second optional exam and it's my final strategic professional exam. I did 2 exams in the March sitting. I did strategic business leader and advanced performance management. So those are the 2 subjects I recently passed, and now I'm heading towards my final exam.
Very interesting. I mean, doing 2 strategic professional level exams in one sitting is, again, I think quite incredible. Most students do adopt this approach. I would be very, very interested to hear about your strategy around successfully navigating these exams.
Right. So I'll start off with what I do the week before the exam. I actually have this book and I call it Ishita's Guide to Navigating Through the Subject. So whatever subject I'm doing at that point in time. This book is completely customized to my needs. So I usually bring this notebook out when I have to start with the exam kit. So once I'm done with the studying part, I've gotten the grasp of the concepts, I move on to doing the exam kit. And when I've started doing the questions, what I do is in that notebook of mine, I jot down the questions that I probably messed up, or I jot down the concepts that I wasn't very familiar with, or I didn't fully grasp them during the studying part. And maybe that's why I couldn't do the question properly. So that book essentially is a list of questions that I couldn't do properly, or, you know, the concepts that I wasn't aware of. So my last 1 week is dedicated to the places that I messed up. I redo those questions in this particular week to ensure that even the areas that I'm not good in, I try to excel in those as well and prepare myself fully for even the challenges that I may face during the exam. So that's my customized guide to passing the subject. So that's what I do week before. The day before is my recap day. So in that, I don't stress. I actually don't even solve problems that day because I feel like I don't want to, you know, look at a 50 marker and stress one day before. So what I do actually is I have these notes that I create for myself when I'm studying. So I just take those notes and I look at those. I make these notes very colorful. I make them very like attractive to take a look at as well. So it grabs my attention when I'm studying. So I just go through those notes and conceptually try to strengthen my knowledge so that I can make sure that when I go for the exam, my conceptual knowledge is strong. The morning of, I don't even take a look at my notes. And this is a lesson that I've learned over the time. Reason why, it's like once you take a look at note and if you come across some point that maybe you forgot about revising, it sort of stresses you out. Now the problem is when you see something like this, it's like you completely forget the 99 things you know and you only focus on that one thing you don't know. And that's a stress you take with when you go to the exam center as well. So I prefer not to take a look at any notes. As a matter of fact, I wake up around 2-3 hours before the exam because I take the morning exam and I just have my breakfast. I'll listen to some music and I prefer listening to music that gives me a boost. So, you know, something that's about self-confidence. And then even in the exam center, I just go and I keep telling myself words of affirmation, like, you know it, you'll do it, you don't have to worry about it. So that's what my approach is. It's very simple, it's very straightforward, and I do the same thing. I'm very consistent with this approach, and I do this with every exam that I sit through.
This is incredible, Ishita, and I think question practice, absolute must, you know, having that self-confidence, giving yourself the boost and reinforcing some of the key topics. And I like the idea of having, you know, your own personal journal where you keep jotting down areas of development. So, yep, well done. And I'm sure, you know, our listeners will definitely be able to learn from this and adopt some of the best practices. So I wanted to now dwell a little bit into the support resources. And as ACCA, you'd appreciate, you know, we have a host of study support resources, which very well complement the efforts of our learning partners, you know, things like our practice platform and numerous other resources that we have made available to our students. What resources do you normally use, you know, that ACCA produce, and which ones do you find the most useful in firming up your exam preparations?
So if I have to speak in the context of ACCA's resources particularly, I firstly take a look at the exam kit, which is essentially the combination of all the questions put together under different categories that are important to the exam. And I make sure that if nothing, I do at least 90% of the questions in that exam kit. I feel like it is so important, especially if you want to cross that 50 mark threshold, because those questions are going to help you understand what ACCA is going to test you upon. And at the same time, once you're reading the answers that are issued by the ACCA, it gives you an idea of the expectation ACCA has from you on what answers to produce. So I think that exam kit is extremely important. That's one thing. Secondly, the technical articles. I think everyone should definitely go through the technical articles. They're concise, very crisp, to the point, and they'll actually help you so much in terms of clarifying a concept that maybe you are struggling in. So that's very important. And the CBE platform, I think everyone should practice a minimum of at least 3-4 papers available on that CBE platform. There are many, but at least 3-4, and try to time yourself when you're doing that. Even when I'm doing just general questions, I open the blank workspace on CBE and I try to do it in that, because it acquaints me with the practice platform, which is so important when you're going to the exam, because you're not clueless in the exam on how to navigate through it. So it's very important to use the different examinations available on the CBE platform and even the blank workspace, because I think always start up with the blank workspace, take a look at what it looks like, how to use the spreadsheet, how to use the formula sheet. Very important. So for me, when it comes to the ACCA issued material, I think the exam kit is extremely important. The CBE platform and using the examinations available on the CBE platform and the technical articles. These are something I rely on for my preparation.
It's very pleasing to know this, Ishita. And I think the ACCA, it really helps us boost and ensure what we are making available to our students is really helping them progress through their exam. So I think well done for firstly using and, you know, making the most of these resources. If you had to summarize in terms of your entire experience of your ACCA qualifications journey, what has been the highlight of your experience to date with ACCA?
The highlight of my experience has certainly been getting that email that stated that I'm a prize winner in a subject. An interesting anecdote, advanced performance management was my favorite subject when I was studying for it. I remember I used to feel like a consultant taking a look at the company and coming up with solutions for them or identifying their problem. So when I saw that email, it was like a culmination of my hard work and maybe a bit of blessings that I got from the elderly people in my house. It all came down to that achievement. And I think whenever I take a look at my ACCA journey, it's certainly going to be that email that I got from ACCA, because that led to a smile on my mother's face and my father saying that he's very proud of me. These are moments that are going with me for the rest of my life. So that's certainly been the highlight of my ACCA journey till date.
Brilliant. And congratulations again, Ishita, on having that achievement. I'm sure with everything you've mentioned so far and your approach to tackling an exam and progressing through it, definitely a well-deserved award and recognition for you. We've so far looked at the good things. I think what I would also finally like to hear from you is, what has been your one struggle to date, your biggest struggle related to ACCA, and anything that can help our listeners get some inspiration? And how did you tackle that?
Right. So I think when it comes to one struggle that maybe I have faced even during my university times and during ACCA times, it is when I reach that saturation point. So the thing is, when you start studying, I'm very excited, right? I'm learning something new. I'm going to dedicate some time, come across these concepts. I'm going to try to grasp it as much as I can. So that first 1 month is like amazing because I'm learning something new. Then, you know, I move on to doing questions. So again, that's also amazing because there's a challenge that's being thrown at me. Now, okay, you have studied everything. Good. Now learn how to apply it. So that's all very interesting. But what happens is, once I've completed 1.5 months, 2 months with the same subject, I reach what I call is that saturation point. Because now this subject has become a part of my life. All I can do is think about the subject. But I reach that point of my saturation where I'm like, I can't do this anymore. I can't take a look at a 50 marker anymore. I can't do this. I can't even do a 25 marker anymore. And you know, that leads to this revision fatigue, because when you're entering that revision stage, you're suddenly like, no, I can't do any more questions. So this saturation point is something that always keeps coming in my studying journey. But you know what? It's a setback, and any setback is an opportunity to explore how to get through something like this and emerge victorious against a setback. So what I do is I give myself like a free day. So that's my approach to, you know, tackling this saturation point problem. So what I do is I don't even take a look at anything. I don't even make a schedule for myself that day. I don't take a look at that study kit, exam kit. No, it's fine. One day, this subject is out of my life. And I just do anything that I want to do. Because this is what my perspective is. I have the option of keeping that book open in front of me, telling myself I'm going to do a question. But then I'm just reading through it and nothing is getting in my mind and I'm just not able to solve it. So I'm whiling away my time over there. If I have to while away my time, may as well just scroll through TikTok, right? At least I'm not thinking about the subject at that point in time. I give myself that one free day. And what happens after that is somehow psychologically, I feel like, okay, now I'm a little behind. I need to get back to the groove. That sort of gives me a boost of motivation that I need. So, you know, from that saturation point, instead of going down, I start going up again. That motivation levels go up again. So that's what my struggle has been, dealing with this revision fatigue or that saturation point. But yes, I have found a way to tackle it, although it just still keeps coming back every sitting.
Very valid. And I think having done these exams myself, I can absolutely relate to that revision fatigue that you've mentioned. But I think given your approach to dealing with examinations and the kind of practices you put in place, definitely you can do with taking some time off and relaxing before your examination. So well done on that. And with this note, I would like to thank you, Ishita, for, you know, your valuable contribution to this podcast. And, you know, it's been a pleasure to hear from you.
Thank you so much, Tahir, and thank you so much to everyone at ACCA for this opportunity, letting me tell what I have gone through with my experiences on a platform of this sort. And I hope that some of the advices that I've thrown or some of the anecdotes that I have shared can help others as well. Thank you.
Thank you for listening in, and join us again for more insights from students around the world. We'd love to share your stories, so get in touch if you want to be involved at studentaccountant@accaglobal.com. Until next time, take care and thank you.
This podcast was brought to you by ACCA. Find out how we think ahead at accaglobal.com.